Morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Please go ahead and silence all of your cell phones or any other PDA devices. And if you'd please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any changes to be made, corrections to be made to today's agenda?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So then, can I get a motion to approve today's consent agenda? Or no, without that, can I get a motion to approve today's agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve today's agenda.
Second.
I move the second to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Move on now to item number 3. This is a consent agenda. Anybody have any questions regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, I'd get a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
Move the second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. Let's see here. Why don't we start off from the Public Works Department, Director Jason Van Abel.
Good morning, Jason Van Abel for the record. Some recent work we've been performing in Public Works is we received a shipment of a person lift, an 85-foot boom lift, that we put to work right away by removing some of the loose bricks off of the roof of the courthouse to make it safer for access all around the building. We've stored those bricks so if, when it comes time for repairs, we can reutilize those if need be. We were working on clearing some culverts down in Tri to help with the drainage activities down there, working on some repairs on Loustown, and most importantly, the repairs on Six Mile Canyon Road. And we made great progress, especially last week with the fair weather that we were having, and we were getting close to being complete until last night. Yesterday, we received just over 1.5 inches of precipitation, and that seemed to be during the day, as that was coming down at a modest pace, the drainage systems within the county were doing fine. Late last night, the pace of the precipitation picked up quite a bit, and while the Highlands did okay, and Mark Twain did okay, Lockwood did okay, Six Mile Canyon did not. We had, from what I can tell of looking at Six Mile Canyon this morning, I believe that the high water level last night exceeded the high water level of the early January flood. It just hit it for a short period of time, thank goodness. But the high water mark, I believe, exceeded that. So a significant amount more damage took place down there. And, of course, we'll get going on those repairs. As of yesterday, according to my count, we're at about 150% of the average precipitation normal so far. And we're less than 2 months into the year, just an FYI. I don't know how else to put it. On a broader perspective, the sewer project in town in Virginia City and Gold Hill is going to be going out to bid soon, and we should be able to break ground in the spring with expected Project completion will be later summer of 18. So that's a concise update. Any questions?
No. Nothing for that? Okay, great. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
All right, from the Sheriff's Office, Jeff Bowers, have you got something to report to us today?
I'll be just speaking with the Sheriff briefly.
Sergeant Jeff Bowers, Story County Sheriff's Office. The Sheriff was unable to attend today, so due to prior engagement, he's asked me to just bring to the attention of the commissioners that we'll be having two first readings on a liquor licenses, one for the Canvas Cafe. That's a new liquor license application. There'll be a second one that's an amended liquor license application. That's going to be for the Tap House. That's it.
Very good. Thank you, Officer Bowers. All right. From
are we going to hear that? With the
yeah.
Okay.
We can do that.
Okay.
The from Community Chest and the Library, Sean Griffin.
Nothing
today. Okay. Director of Security, Ms. Keener.
Nothing today.
From the reporter's office today, Jeff Chess?
Nothing
today? Okay. Director of Communications, Mr. Ballard?
Nothing for today.
Director of Community Relations, Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioners. Sherry Nevin for the record. As you may have heard, on Friday, the President issued approved the declaration for emergency for the state of Nevada. We will begin working with FEMA folks. We're scheduled to have a briefing sometime around the first week of March to kind of get how the process will work and start working through it. As Dean mentioned in our meeting this morning, it could be up to an 18-month process by the time we get everything done and closed out. So we'll have our hands full here for the next few months working on that. I will be presenting to the Carson River Subconservancy District at their forum on Thursday about our wastewater improvement project, the first phase and the second phase. USDA will be teaming up with us on that project since they've been a huge player with that. We're working with NDOT as well. They contacted us late last week. They are applying for some emergency relief funds through the Federal Highway Administration. Six Mile Canyon is not technically a state route. However, it is designated as a state route. It's very muddy, but it's a major collector route. So they came to us in hopes that they can work with us and perhaps get some emergency relief funding for repairs in that on that roadway. So nothing is set in stone or confirmed, but we've provided them with the information that they're looking for, so hopefully we'll get a little something there. Last Wednesday, the Nevada Arts Council held a forum up at the Arts Center here in Virginia City. They're working on their strategic plan moving forward. We appreciate St. Mary's Arts Center hosting that meeting. There was probably about 15 folks from the Comstock community, and that included Silver City. There was a lot of conversation around reforming the Comstock Arts Council that was around, and it's been gone for several years now. I know Sean Griffin was very instrumental in that, and hopefully he'll be somewhat of a mentor to some of the folks now that are working to possibly get that reestablished here in our community. That's all I have this morning.
Very good. Any questions for Sherry?
No.
No? Great. Thank you, Sherry. All right. Story County's lobbyist, Bum Hess. And former chairman of the board, County Commissioners.
Thank you. Bum Hess, Story County lobbyist. I've just given you an update on the legislation Yesterday there was about 17 meetings postponed, pretty good meetings that were supposed to happen because they're basically trying to undo everything they did last time. You know, a lot of the good things that were done as far as public works, things with schools, union stuff, the management is now trying to undo most of that. So a lot of the really good, important meetings that were scheduled for yesterday and today are canceled, probably till next week. But there's a lot of stuff out there. Mary and I are going to come up here, not next meeting, but the following meeting, after a lot of the bills will die between now and then. So there's no use coming up here and reporting on bills that we think are probably going to die. But we still have a lot of them out there. You know, the tax cap that I know everybody, you know, especially the commissioners are looking at in order to try to regulate that so we can figure out on an annual basis a little bit more accurately how much money we're going to have coming in. That's still going strong, and I think we're going to get a positive result out of that. They do have a bill in here now, separation of payments. So when somebody leaves for a long time, if they're there 28 years, they do limit you on how much you can pay that person basically to leave or to reward them. Water rights, which is going to be huge, especially in the park for us down there. Most of these bills will probably be heard next week sometime. And then, of course, we have AB 153, which are impact fees. We'll find out a little bit more on that today. I won't go into that until we find out a lot more. And, of course, my favorite, gender orientation, that's going to last all week, next week, too. So that's really all we have for now, unless you guys have any questions. I got to meet Mary down there for lunch on our AB 153 down there. So I'll have more for you guys on that, hopefully today, because we're going to try to meet with Washoe.
When's the last date to file the last bills? Isn't there a deadline?
Yes. There's the only one that can file the bills now are going to be the majority leaders. So all the other bills have been filed. So probably about half to 60% of the bills will probably die between now and our next meeting, or at least be thrown away and probably not heard.
Do the majority leaders have a deadline?
Not necessarily. They're supposed to have a deadline. I think it's between now and again when we meet again. I'm not sure the exact date, but they can piggyback just about anything they want. So legally, yeah, they do have a deadline, but they can make changes to the Legislative Council Bureau really at any time. That's why it's such a powerful position.
This appears to me to be a year we're going to have to be very vigilant and on high alert.
Yeah.
There are a lot of bills that are going to perhaps specifically impact Story County, but it looks to me like a year of careful analysis and vigilance.
Well, it is, and we've gotten, you know, such good press because, you know, we're supposed to be, you know, just, you know, with Tesla and everybody, as everybody knows, we don't get a lot of money out of Tesla, but that's not what a lot of people think. So, you know, a lot of people have their eyeball on us like they have for, you know, the last few sessions. So, yeah, we're going to have to be very careful in what we do and you know, fight everything from the very beginning, which that's what we're doing on this AB 153. So no use going into that until we know more exactly what's going on and how we want to address that anyhow. So any other questions?
Are you going to contact Bob Lucy?
I'll let you know as soon as I talk with Mary at lunch. We're going to meet with Mary and then another lobbyist at lunch. And then I'll make some phone calls and find out who we want to contact. But, yeah, that's one of them that should be contacted. Yes. It should be.
So. Great. Thanks, Bob.
You bet. Thank you.
Director of Planning, Austin Osborne.
Good morning. Thank you, Commissioners. Thank you, Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. Just a few things here. I want to thank a lot of folks that are in this room and our department heads and our commissioners for attending our last strategic plan workshop for the Planning Commission. This was the first of a series of meetings that really will give us a guiding light for Story County, similar that our master plan has for the county. This one will be for our internal organization. I anticipate this to be about an 8-month process and probably about a 30-page document with some principal goals and objectives for Story County and how we do things and how we make things happen. And that will include a vision statement and a mission statement and all those things. So some of these meetings will occur with the Planning Commission, and some of them will occur internally with our department heads for each department, our elected officials with each office, and other folks within, and then ultimately to this board for consideration. So I think it's pretty exciting. I want to let us know and remind particularly the public that March 23rd in the Highlands will be our town hall meeting for the United States Geological Survey, the USGS, to continue doing its water surveys for volunteers who would like to have the USGS do well monitoring to determine the impacts that the drought and other conditions are having on that area. So again, that's March 23rd. It'll be with the Planning Commission at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Firehouse Station 72. The last thing is I want to talk about on the HR side is this is probably the first year we're going to see in a long time that our health benefits premiums are going to go up substantially. There's some experience ratings issues occurring. Doesn't necessarily mean with employees or retirees or dependents, but it could be a combination of all. And there's some regional things happening, too, that are causing increases to happen. And we are going to put an insurance committee together of some employees and folks that are on the plan, and this will probably be the first year that we talk about substantial contributions that employees will be making toward their own benefits plan, not necessarily the premiums, but as far as, you know, how much you'll have to pay in deductibles and co-pays and certain things like that. We'll try to keep the same plan, but there'll be have to be some adjustments likely and likely keep you updated on that. And then last but not least, Katie Harrington asked me not to point her out in the audience. So, so she is here observing today's meeting, and I thought today would be a great meeting anyway to observe. She's getting her, not a law degree, but a master's degree in, do you want to say?
Legal studies.
Legal studies, thank you. And she came from North Carolina today to come visit with us. She's Judge Harrington's daughter, so I think she'll enjoy the meeting and get a little out of this. Thank you.
Right. Any questions for Austin? Nothing? Great. Thanks, Austin. Right. For the fire department, Chief Haynes?
Nothing today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And the comptroller's office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of items. The budgetary process is off and running. I'm not sure where, but it's we've had the staffing requirements. We have looked over those. The budget committee, I think, is this year has done a pretty good job of trying to dial in of where we are and what we're doing and staffing requirements and those things have been reviewed. The department operational budgets are going to be due on Friday. So we will have between now and at least we'll have a week and a half probably to review all of those for the operational budget and then meet with County Manager Whitten and then, of course, make the tentative budget request to the commission. I mentioned last at the last meeting we had that we were going to put our accounting services or our audit services out for a bid, an RFP. Our current CPA firm must have heard about it because I got a letter from them last week to quote, this letter is to respectfully inform you that we will no longer be able to bid for the Story County audit for this coming fiscal year. Our lead auditor, Rich Barchi, who's been here as long as I have, has decided to reduce his hours and move close to retirement, and I have not decided to replace him. We appreciate the relationship we have had with you and your staff over the many years. We have done the audit and let you know that it has been of a sincere pleasure to work with you. Signed, David A. Pringle. So it's official. And I was trying to look back at the first time Pringle audited Story County, and the closest number I can come up with was 1972. So you couple this with our ADS public accounting infrastructure change that we're going to have in the next couple of years. There's going to be a lot of changes going on within not only in Tarrant County, but certainly within the comptroller's office. So just news, and we will keep you updated.
Any questions? So you got a year to find a new auditor?
We got to do it by March 30th. So we've got to select the audit for the auditor for March 30th, which will start on July 1st of this year.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions, Mr. Gallagher?
Commissioner.
Thank you, Hugh. District Attorney Langer.
I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention, there's a lot of scams that have been going on lately. Actually, I think Bum was one of the first ones I saw approximately 3 years ago, that you'd get a call from the IRS with an IRS number of the 202. So you actually think that it is the IRS that's calling you. They tell you that they're going to pick you up on a warrant because you have not paid your taxes. And for some reason, they seem to elicit enough information from people to have them believe that there is actually a warrant for their arrest. First of all, the IRS is going to send you a letter before they do anything. So anyone calling you saying that they're the IRS, even with the 202 number, they reroute it. And that one's been going on for a long time. I just got a call from Larry Prater last week. The newest one that they're doing is calling from a local number, a 775 number, and basically telling people that they either have a bench warrant out for their arrest because they missed a traffic ticket or they missed some court appearance or they were selected for jury duty and didn't show up. So with that being said, the newest one, which Larry said it sounded pretty real to him, is that they have you, except for the meeting in the parking lot. That's always the first sign. Do not meet anybody in the parking lot with $3,000 cash, all right? Because some people are doing it. And so virtually what they do is they say that they will give you a voucher to take up to the sheriff's office to clear up the problem. So, of course, the people go up to the sheriff's office, they give them the voucher, and the sheriff's office is looking at them like, I don't know what you're talking about. You don't have a warrant out for your arrest. You were not supposed to sit on a jury. So anytime that someone is calling you, and they're very good at it in that they are getting information from you without your realizing, just talking to the people. Some people ask for your Social Security number. There's been identity thefts involved in some of these cases because with some of the older people, they believe that, you know, these really are governmental agencies that they need to give this information to. So I just want everybody to know that it is still going on, that the IRS scam seems to be lessening because more people are getting the call. But with this new one, it's a local number, and so just beware of the fact that this new scam is going on.
Just to follow up on that, too, also in the newspaper recently, NV Energy had posted that people are calling in reference to the power company saying that your bill is in arrears and they're trying to get credit card information over the telephone.
Right.
That's another scam.
Right.
It seems like I get the IRS call about twice a year.
Yeah, but that's legitimate, Jack.
And they haven't found me yet.
Moving along now. County Manager Whitten.
Yes. I recall growing up in Sacramento, we had two newspapers. We had the Sacramento Bee and the Sacramento Union. And somewhere back in, I think, the 60s or the 70s, as I recall, they decided to merge. So they were down to one paper. Albuquerque did the same thing. We had the Albuquerque Post and I think the Albuquerque Tribune or whatever. They merged. And I think for those of you in the audience, if you look to your far right in the front row, there's kind of a telltale sign right there that I was told late last week that the Comstock Chronicle and the Virginia City News are merging. I think it's something that we should all look forward to. They're talking about playing off of each other's strengths. And they asked me to go ahead and filter that somehow in. So congratulations to you two ladies. Look forward to seeing your first issue come out early March, I think you told me.
March 3rd.
March 3rd, all right.
That will it be two papers or
no,
one? Just one?
There'll be one. Right. So moving along, we've already pretty much talked about the legislature and some pretty tricky bills that are going on in there. But two others that I want to make note of that weren't spoken to, I don't believe. AB 57, the Virginia and Truckee Board, had its first hearing in committee last week, and Commissioners McBride and McGuffey did a stellar job testifying. So there are a couple of pending questions out there. I'm working on answers, and I do have a meeting with Senate Majority Leader Ford tomorrow morning with Mary, so we can make sure he's okay with it. And then lastly, I was thrilled last week to be told by, and I'm going to call him Lance Gilman because this was in his role as a real estate person, but Lance told me last week that Roger Norman and the team have kindly determined to gift to us a mountaintop. Those are critical for us, as Dave Ballard will testify to here in a moment, that this mountaintop and then also access to get to it, because as USA Parkway is extending south, we need radio coverage. NHP will need radio coverage. NDOT needs radio coverage. Typically, these are pretty, they're not real lucrative, but they are a moneymaker. I think we're paying for a raw peak, it looks like $3,000 or something in that ballpark. But we'll be going to work on that, getting the road surveyed and the parcel surveyed so we can get a legal description and then finish it up. So that's all I have.
Very good. Any questions for Pat? None? Okay, move on. County Clerk? Nothing? Nothing today? All right, that concludes item number 4. And we'll move on now to item number 5. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. Start to my far left there. Commissioner Gilman?
No comment today, sir. Thank you.
Nothing? Okay. Vice Chair McGuffey?
Yes. I'll give a brief NACO update. NACO, of course, is watching all the bills that go through. They have a few priorities. A lot of them don't concern us. They're more, let's say, for Vegas and stuff like that. The one that does affect us statewide is the SB 176, and that's the law enforcement being required to wear body cameras. And so the issue is, where is that going to be funded from? And the talk right now is that they're talking about raising the 911 fee from 25 cents to a dollar, and that will pay for at least the cameras. It doesn't pay for the storage or anything like that. Some counties will benefit greatly, like Washington and Clark. You're talking lots of 911 calls, but rural counties don't get that many. So, but that's just one idea they're throwing out there to help try to. They think that bill's going to go through, so they're already talking, how are we going to pay for it? AB 43 is a property tax cap bill. It's a kind of a restructure. So it's kind of a correction of the past bill, so that counties aren't getting anything for property tax to speak of. SB 8 is a pre-sentencing investigation bill. Counties are required to pay 70% of the pre-investigation on court cases. We're trying to get, NACO's trying to get it to 30%. These are kind of in their infancy right now, so I don't have any updates on them. And then, of course, the SB 57 that Mr. Witten brought up, the V&T commissioners reconfigure the commission board, basically, is what that's about. It was the first time I had ever testified in front of the legislature committee, and it was an interesting process, and I think we were well received. They have a few questions. They give you, they want you to answer those questions. They give you a little timeline to do that, and then we'll go back for another hearing, I guess, is what it is. So it was it's kind of an interesting process. If there's a, there's also the the well bill. Anybody who owns a well are encouraged to go to those meetings. You can get on the legislature and find out when those are happening. And the committees encourage everybody to get up and say something. You know, if you don't show up, that's your way of getting involved and having your say.
And that's all I have to say.
All right. Great. Thanks, Jack. I've got a few items. Start off with this last weekend. I hope everyone enjoyed President's Day weekend. The Republicans celebrated by having their annual Lincoln Day brunch at the Delta Saloon. the owners hosted the event and did a terrific job. In attendance was U.S. Senator Dean Heller and Congressman Mark Amaday, our State Senator James Settlemyer, and our Assemblyman Jim Wheeler. Also in attendance were Senator Don Gustafson from Reno. We had the State Comptroller Ron Connect was there, State Treasurer Dan Schwartz. McGuffey and myself also attended. We didn't speak, everyone else spoke, and it's good to have Amaday there for comic relief because he makes fun of everybody in attendance. And it was very well attended. This is about the sixth event I've attended, and it was very well received. It's probably the largest attendance I've ever seen at this event. So I always encourage anybody, you don't have to be a Republican to attend this. Democrats are welcome as well in the future. But it's really interesting. They let you know what's going on in Washington, what's going on at the state level, and they do it in an environment that's very friendly and it's very enjoyable. Next up on our plate is Commissioner McGuffey, Planning Director Austin Osborne, and myself. We're going to be traveling to Washington, D.C. next Saturday, and we'll be gone for about 5 or 6 days, attending National NACO. And this is, once again, where we get an opportunity to meet with all of our congressional delegation, usually one-on-one. And then there's also continuing education going on with workshops throughout this conference. We usually go in one day early, gives us a chance to do a little bit of sightseeing, whether you want to go to the Smithsonian or Archives or Library of Congress, items like that. So it's great. We'll meet up with our federal representatives there who help us out, John Porter and Dan Maurer. They're the ones who are helping us with our lands bill implementation and also with our post office bill. The third item up is I occasionally make mention of former residents of Story County. These are guys I went to school with. This is kind of a tough one. We're a great family moving to Virginia City about 45 years ago and took over the local Chevron gas station. Being very good friends of the Savage family. And one of the guys I grew up with was Keith. Turned out to be a star basketball player, played for the Muckers. He went on to serve in the U.S. Navy. Became a professional fisherman in Alaska. Ended up marrying a high school sweetheart here, Terry Smith. Had two daughters. Moved on to Long Beach, California, and got into business with his father-in-law and ended up with a fabrication shop down there. So, anyway, the announcement is the passing to Keith. He was a really good guy, and he is only 62. So. Our condolences go to his mother, who survives him, and his brother and sister. So that's all I have. We're going to move on now to item number six, discussion of possible action. This is approval of the Story County, Lyon County, Rob Peak radio equipment in a local agreement. Mr. Ballard.
Good morning, Dave Ballard, Story County Communications. Kind of hard to follow up on that one, but this lease that we're looking at right now, this is something that we have with Lyon County to put our equipment consolidated in their facility. Currently, there's two buildings up on Raw Peak. There's one that's owned by the state of Nevada, where we have some equipment in there now, and the other building is the one that Lyon County put in. It makes more sense to us business-wise to move the stuff out of the state building and put it into the Lyon County building. And the reason for that is, you know, our partnership with them through everything we do, from the Quad County microwave to everything else. All our equipment that we have a, I believe the sheriff's radio is in the Lyon County building right now, and the fire was in the state building, or it might be the other way around. I don't know which one it was. Lyon County put a lot of money into their facility up there, upgraded a lot of stuff, and us putting our stuff in there makes everything function a little bit better. So basically, there is a lease involved in this, but the lease that's in place will just kind of replace one we have with the state. I think the state, we pay $2,100 a year for their stuff, and this one's a little bit more, but it's maintained better. We have more access. There's not as much bureaucracy if we want to do something. We did try to keep the equipment where we did now, but the state was making us jump through a lot of hoops to try to run a little bit of fiber for about 100 feet. There it would have probably cost us about $60,000, $70,000 to do something we could have done ourselves in a matter of hours, but we just opted to do it this way by moving everything in place. I think will also be beneficial for us is the new mountaintop that we have out there that we'll be building out here. I think that's going to come into play, so we'll probably be able to have a little something to negotiate with in the future on this with Lyon County. So the initial lease, which I believe is $3,000 a year, that's probably to be debatable here in another year or two once we get our other mountaintops built.
So this $3,000 is something that's new that we never had to pay before?
Not with their. No, their old building, and I'll be honest, was junk. It was they had like an old telephone pole hanging out there that they used for a tower. They had some old rusty shed up there. It was really bad. They put the new building and they invested a lot of money into it, and they put in a new tower and everything else. And so it's money well spent. It really is. It's easier to get up there to it. If they have a problem, we have a problem. You know, we had a problem during the flood, and they were up there the next day. They had a dozer up there, you know, operating it and maintaining it. It's just it's better equipment, I think. I said the state of Nevada has good stuff, but it's just hard to get in and out of there. I can't do anything in the state building. If I want to hang a different antenna, if I want to do something, I can't do it. I got to beg for their permission to do it, and it takes forever to get things done if they let you do it at all. Lyon County, anything that we do is going to impact them as well, so it's kind of this is a win-win for all of us involved in this.
And that's a very fair rate that they're charging.
Yeah, it's very reasonable.
Keeping in mind that when we do get a mountaintop out in the south, or try on USA Parkway, that we'll be doing something very similar. And I think we pay even more than this, I'm pretty sure, for pond.
Pond costs about, I think it's $365 a month plus the $40 utilities. So it adds up pretty quick. This building up here, too, though, the money that we're paying Lyon County is also going towards maintenance. It's going towards the upgrade of the generator. We're paying fuel costs. You know, we're just splitting it, basically.
Electric
battery. We're just splitting the cost.
So are you sharing equipment then?
No. Well, we're sharing the microwave. The microwave is the Quad County microwave is something we've been working on for years. And now we're actually probably the first county that's actually using it for communications right now. I have my voter system plugged into it. And the only way you can do it is you have to have the equipment close to each other. So, that's part of it. And it was huge. We looked at the state. We asked them if we could run a fiber line, because it's only about 100 feet difference. And we asked them if we could run some fiber, but the hoops they were making us jump through was ridiculous. We probably would have had to have had an environmental impact study. It was a lot of hoops. You know, then they wanted it done a certain way. We needed to get a contractor up there. We would have had to have cement poured. And I said this little 100 feet would have cost us about $60,000. So it's just easier to pick up and move everything in there.
Very good. Do you have any questions for Mons? I'll take any public comment on this. Hearing none, I get a motion to approve this.
I'll make a motion to approve the Story County, Lyon County Raw Peak Radio Equipment Interlocal Agreement.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the Story County, Lyon County Raw Peak Radio Equipment Interlocal Agreement. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ballard. All right, next up, item number seven, is discussion of possible action. This is confirmed reappointment of Marshall McBride and Laura Kukuli to the Story County Board of Equalization. So this is, I believe this is every 4 years, is that right, Madam Clerk?
Yep, the terms are absolutely
Yeah. So I think Do you think I should step aside and let the Vice Chairman handle
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Upon the recommendation of the district attorney, I will go ahead. I don't have a pecuniary interest in this.
Just you.
But,
You're worth a lot of money, Marshall.
But in any event, I'm going to go ahead and recuse myself and abstain from voting on this and the item following this. And I'll go ahead and turn the meeting over to the vice chairman, and I'll join the audience until the conclusion of items 7 and 8.
Again, this is a confirmed the reappointment of Marshall McBride, Laura Kickley, and to the Story County Board of Equalization.
Is Laura here today?
So is there any public comment on this? No? You get a motion?
Sure. I'll move to approve the appointment of Marshall McBride and Laura Kukuli to the Story County Board of Equalization.
I have a motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Item 8, confirm the reappointment of Mark McBride, Pat Whitten, and Laura Kickley to the Story County Debt Management Board. Do we have any public comment?
I'll move to approve the appointment of Marshall McBride, Pat Whitten, and Laura Kukuli to the Story County Debt Management Board.
We have a motion. I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. Okay, at this time we're going to go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners, and we're going to convene as the 474 Fire District Board. Next up is item 10, discussion of possible action. Confirm and appoint Jeff Nevin as the Story County Fire Protection District Chief Appointee. Is Jeff here today? Oh, there he is. Yeah. It's going to be a first for me.
What's that?
And I get to be involved in with you gentlemen appointing someone that I've known. Since day one. As you can see in the audience, his parents are here. Children, siblings, cousins, aunts, uncles, his wife. So, Jeff, like you others, started as a student member. And now he's working his way up the ranks to the fire chief. He's been a firefighter, he's been a captain. The joke is that he put in one application, ended up with three jobs at NDF, Sierra, Truckee Meadows. Battalion chief with this department. My notes say that he's a third-generation fire chief. He's not only a native Nevadan, but he's a native Virginia City kid. So, lives here in Virginia City with his family. His employer, his boss, Gary Hames, says, Jeff's going to be the future of this department. And I agree. So, this is a discussion and action item. So, anyone else who would like to give testimony is welcome at this time.
See this clock? Got your name on it.
He calls him Jeffrey. We got problems.
I guess everybody knows who I am, but for the record, Vanessa, Mike Nevin, public citizen. I'd just like to make mention that Jeff is following in my footsteps as well as his great-great-grandfather. His grandfather, my namesake, Michael Lee Nevin, served as fire chief of the Virginia Paid Fire Department from 1901 to 1906 and from 1911 to 1912. Afterwards, he served as the postmaster here in Virginia City in 1915-1916. back in the day, those days, the Virginia Paid Fire Department was dwindling. Mining had pretty much come to a standstill here on the Comstock. There wasn't a lot going on. It was reported in Steve Frady's book on the fire service of the Comstock, Red Shirts and Leather Helmets, that Chief Nevin, my great-great-grandfather, Jeff's great-great-grandfather, appeared before the Board of County Commissioners and advised them that he, as the chief, had a staff of four, and the yearly payroll was somewhere around $525 for their services. I found that quite interesting. You know, it's quite different today, as we all know. I, like Jeff, my son, started as a student member with Marshall back in the day. That was 1970 for me, probably a year or two later for Marsh. We like to think we made a difference in the fire service here on the Comstock. Gary went to work for me, and he did a stellar job underneath myself. And when I left, you know, it was just, that was the right choice. And Gary has done a fantastic and a terrific job. And I'm going to, you know, hate to see him go, but I think Jeff will step in and carry it forward. So I served from, of course, 1980 to 2000 as fire chief. And back then it was more of a stipend type position. I think I got maybe $150 a month, but I had other employment, so, you know, that wasn't too bad of a deal. But we had three paid housemen at the time, as Gary will recall. And it wasn't until about 1998, I guess, when things started to change and the county eventually took over from the Division of Forestry and formed the 474 Fire District. And it was the right choice, believe me. And other entities and counties around the state have done the same. So I just wanted to say congratulations Jeff, son Jeff, I know you'll do a fantastic job, and here's to your success.
So,
thank you, Mike.
So the Nevin clock might start collecting spider webs in. Jeff doesn't talk a lot.
Care for going.
Any other public comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gary Haynes, Fire Chief, for the record, for a few more months anyway. I think you made a great choice here. Jeff has been around this district for as long as I can remember. I remember Jeff coming in the firehouse. I think we were maybe as babysitters. I'm not sure, but Jenny never would really tell me. You know, driving us nuts, asking us questions, what's in this cabinet, how does this work? I think through the years now I go to him and say, how does this work again? So it's a positive change. And my advice to Jeff is, and the whole family, it's a family affair. It's not just Jeff taking this position. It's his lovely wife, Dory. And Dory, I did say something publicly nice about you, so remember that. And his kids, Chelsea and Kelsam. It's a whole family. So Jeff knows that, and I think when you go in the fire service, you learn that quickly, that you miss birthdays, you miss Christmases, you miss a lot of those things. So, Jeff, that's what you have to look forward to. And I'll leave the three envelopes in the desk drawer for you. You know, the first one that says, I didn't know that, and you can usually get away with it. Then when you get in trouble the next time, you open the next one, you blame me. And the third one's just your departure letter. So with that, I think that's a great choice. I could go on and on. But I think that it's important, too, that you point out in the audience the support that's here today. I mean, we have Rob Dufresne that's in the back. He's a battalion chief. Rob, if you just put your hand up. Rob started here at 16 years old, too. Rob's not very far behind me. The rumor mill is that he's going to be retiring in August or September, somewhere around there. But again, he started at 16 years old. Shane Dixon, he didn't necessarily, he's a transplant like I am, but he started as a student member as well. Patty, Alicia, Chris, I mean, there's a lot of support. Fritz is here. Sherry's here, his sister. Sherry's the one that'll keep him out of trouble. And last but not least, I spent the last year explaining to him, do not give public speeches like your dad does. So I think you're going to be in good shape. So thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Might be pointed out there's no one at the fire station today either because all the staff is here. So.
Yeah, really.
Anyone else like to speak? All right. With that said, if I can go ahead and get a motion.
I'd probably make the motion to appoint Jeff Nevin as Story County Fire Protection District Chief.
I'll second that motion.
I move to second to appoint Jeff Nevin as Story County Fire Protection Chief, appointing up until Gary's retirement, I believe it was June 30th, 2017. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Congratulations, Jeff. This time we're going to adjourn as the 474 Fire Board, and we're going to convene as the Story County Liquor License Board. Number 12, this is discussion, possible action. Approve the first reading for a cabaret and on and off liquor license. Applicants are Richard Oates and Alexia Sober, owners of the Canvas Cafe, operated at 110 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
I guess I can take this unless Sergeant Bowers wants to. This is what it is. It's a
first reading,
and I think there's no. I don't know of any reason why we wouldn't approve first reading while the investigation continues for whatever you have to do for the second. Sure.
Yeah, we always need you to come up so we can get on anything you're going to say. So it's recorded. Otherwise,
yes, sir.
I can't get the transcript.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Sergeant Bowers, Story County Sheriff's Office. I am not prepared to comment one way or another on this. This would be a matter for the commission and for the sheriff on the reading, first and second. So I didn't come prepared to make any comment on that.
That's fine. It would probably be the second reading if there were any issues. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Officer Bowers. At this time, we'll ask if there's a public comment regarding this first reading of the liquor license for Cannabis Cafe. Hearing none, go ahead and ask for a motion for approval on this.
I move to approve the first reading for a Cabernet and off and on liquor license for Richard Oates and Alexia Silver, owners of the Cannabis Cafe located at 110 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
I'll second your motion.
Moved and second to approve this first reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to the next item, which is 13, discussion of possible action. Approve amendment of the Virginia City Brewery liquor license, amending the license from Kurt Holt and Jason Hawkins to solely in the name of Kurt Holt, removing Jason Hawkins. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve the amending of the liquor license for the Virginia City Brewery and Tap House at 62 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Amending the license from Kurt Holt and Jason Hawkins to solely in the name of Kurt Holt, removing Jason Hawkins.
I'll second your motion.
Moved and second to approve this amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 14, we're going to adjourn as the Story County Liquor Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Item number 15 is discussion of possible action. This is continued from the February 7th, 17 board meeting. Mr. Osborne, are you going to handle this? The applicant's request is change the zoning of APN 004-181-02, specifically section 31, Township 18, North Range 23, East MDBM, from Forestry F to Light Industrial I-1. No, is that 11? Okay. I-1. The property owner is proposing to develop a utility-scale solar photovoltaic use on the property. The approximate 159-acre parcel is identified in the 2016 Story County Master Plan as a transition parcel from resources to industrial, and the requested zone change is consistent with the designation. The property is located along the Story County-Lyon County boundary, approximately 5 miles northeast of the Mark Twain Estates.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Commissioner, Austin Osborne for the record. Planner Kathy Kenfield is obligated to another meeting, so she wasn't able to present today. So I'll go ahead and present in her absence. What we have in front of us right now, let me get my notes ready here. This is just a zone change of a parcel down in Mark Twain. This is about 5 miles east of the Mark Twain Estates. And it is a currently zoned forestry, and the applicant is requesting to zone it to I-1 light industrial. The master plan for this area designates it as a transition area from forestry or resource to industrial, so it's compliant with the master plan. It's about 159 acres, and it abuts all the way around existing forestry and I-1 zones similar to the request. There's one single-family house, our residence, located to the south of the property, but not abutting it. And it's next to an I-1 zone already, and a special use permit the zoning staff report kind of shows you some maps of what the existing conditions look like. The setbacks and everything that are applicable here on page 3.2 of your staff report. And really what I think we just want to look at in this is not to look at any proposed uses on the land, but to really consider all the uses that would be allowed under this. This is not a use application. It is a zone application. Once the land is zoned to I-1, the applicant will be able to do anything listed in the I-1 zone on this subject property. So I think it's important that we consider that, not just what the applicant might want to do to it. And then there's just some conditions on how the map will be amended. Everything is in accordance with the NRS and our local codes, and then we'll make sure the conditions up here are followed through so that the maps get amended as required. We did some outreach. The nearest resident that's out there is all by himself. Him and his wife are the only residents in that area. They did attend a planning commission meeting. They did not express any concerns about the project. Tom Zachary, also that lives in that area, also attended, and he had no concerns about it, but asked some questions, and they were addressed. We talked with Lyon County, particularly the Lyon County manager. He's aware of the project, and he's said that the applicant has actually looked at doing a similar sort of thing on the Lyon County side of the line as far as a zone change before any types of uses. And then we also noticed the Lyon County Planning Department, which is Far West Engineering partially, and the county manager's office. And that is about it. The applicants are here. Rafi here has been the one I've been working with, and Kathy's been working with quite some time. So I'll leave it up to you if you have any questions for me or the applicant.
Yeah, I think from everything I read, it looks like this does conform to the master plan. And it's staff's recommendation to approve this?
Yes, it is.
All right. Did you have any questions for Austin before we move on?
No.
Okay. We can open up for any public comment on this. Anybody have any public comment? Don't hear any. Do the applicants, do you wish to testify? Is it not necessary that you do, but.
Oh, I'm not sure, sir. If there are any questions, I'm happy to go.
No, unless there's any other questions, I'll ask you to go ahead and read the findings on the side for the motion for approval.
Okay. Thank you. And the findings are on page 12. The pages are not numbered, so it is on section 6 in your staff report. And I'll read them verbatim, the part we all love, because I'm longer going here. All right. Section 611, the proposed zone map amendments comply with all federal, Nevada, state, and Story County regulations. 612, their proposed zone map amendment will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting property. 613, the conditions of the approval of the zone map amendment require compliance with applicable codes. 614, the conditions of approval of the zone map amendment do not conflict with the minimum requirements of Story County Code Chapter 1734, I-1, Light Industrial Zone, or Chapter 1703-220, Zone Map Amendments and Text Amendments. The uses allowed by the zone do not appear to cause substantial adverse impacts to the uses allowed in the abutting zones. 616, the proposed zone map amendment is in substantial compliance with it supports the goals, objectives, and recommendations of the 2016 Story County Master Plan. 617, the proposed zone map amendment will provide for land use compatible with existing adjacent land uses and will not have detrimental impacts to other properties in the vicinity. 618, the proposed zone map amendment will not cause uses that will negatively impact existing and planned public services and facilities, will not be adversely impacted for the public health, safety, and welfare. 619, the proposed zone map amendment will not create any non-conforming conditions, such as non-conforming setback distances or minimum partial area and width requirements. There are a set of recommended conditions on page 13, section 7, and there is a proposed motion on page 14, section 9. And the proposed motion is to approve.
Proposed motion there?
Yeah.
Item 9?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Once again, I'll ask if there's any public comment regarding this item. Hearing none? For a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion in accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Story County Planning Commission. The findings of fact under section 6.1 of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the County Commission and in compliance with the conditions of approval. One, Commissioner McGuffey make a motion to approve with conditions zone map amendment 2016-033, allowing the applicant's request to change the zoning of APN number 004-181-02. Specifically, Section 31, Township 18, North Range 23, East MDBM, from Forestry F to Light Industrial L1. The property owner is proposing to develop a utility-scale solar photovoltaic use on the property. The approximate 159-acre parcel is identified in the 2016 Story County Master Plan as a transition parcel from resources to industrial, and the requested zone change is consistent with that designation. The property is located along the Story County-Lyon County boundary, approximately 5 miles northeast of Mark Twain Estates.
Can I get a second on this motion?
Second motion.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. And along that, item number 16. This is discussion of possible action. This is also continued from the February 7th, 17 board meeting. The applicant requests a special use permit to construct an approximately 5 to 170 megawatt utility scale ground mounted solar photovoltaic power generating facility using solar panel array technology with associated equipment, storage buildings, office, and watchman's dwelling on APN 004-181-02, located in Section 31, Township 16 North, Range 22 East, MDVM, and APN property is located along the Story County, Lyon County boundary northeast of Mark Twain Estates.
All right. Thank you, Commissioners. Chairman, once again, Austin Osborne for the record. So what we're looking at here is a proposed use on property that we haven't talked about today yet, located south of property that we talked about a moment ago that is now zoned I-1 light industrial. So all of the property we're talking about is zoned I-1 light industrial. So we're looking, the applicant would like to do a solar voltaic use. It is about 5 to 170 megawatt, depending on how big the project gets and is depending on its phasing as well, on a property that's about 520 acres. Now, the zone is I-1, like I said, and the master plan identifies this area for industrial and economic development, and the use is consistent with the master plan and the zoning ordinance. It is a solar voltaic kind of use, basically solar panels. It is not a tower or anything like that, like you'd see down in Tonopah, and the special use being proposed would not allow a tower. And then this is located next to what's maybe become the Black Hawk substation by NV Energy. The applicant has indicated that he's had some talks with NV Energy and that he may want to connect if that project were ever to happen. The conditions of this special use permit are pretty standard, but it is a transferable permit. That means he could transfer it to another user. There's noise, light, and drainage mitigation put in place to make sure that it doesn't have any impacts not only on Story County properties, but the abutting Lyon County properties. There is a watchman's dwelling allowance on this that would be a residence that is associated with the watch person of the property that would be allowed, and that would be a permanent residence. And then he has to submit an emergency plan to the fire district and the emergency management team, and there needs to be appropriate water on site for fire protection and a little bit for the watchman's dwelling and for washing solar PV panels. There is an addendum you have in front of you. A tremendous amount of work had gone back and forth between me, the applicant, and also the district attorney's office trying to come up with an agreement between the parties after the Planning Commission discussion said, we go ahead and approve the project, but we want the county commissioners to consider substantial bonding language for making sure when the project expires and the equipment becomes past its useful date that it disappears, the area is regraded and reseeded and brought back to a reasonable condition existing today. The only exception to what that be is if the project is developed in the future around it, that those conditions would be reasonably existing to the future environment, such as if it were surrounded by an industrial complex, they could build an industrial complex on the subject property and be consistent. You will see the entire addendum is new language. The district attorney's office since yesterday provided a few extra comments. Those are in blue. And so the whole thing is being proposed to you in its entirety as a part of the conditions, just to replace conditions 3, 18, and 19 with that language, inclusive of the black and blue language. And the applicant is here. He may want to talk with you all about some things if you're ready and when you're ready.
Is there an expiration date on this SUP?
There would be a perpetual forever. There's no expiration on it. The only thing it has is once the facility does not operate for 3 years or more, in other words, it becomes decommissioned, and at that point they need to reclaim and bring the project.
What if it never gets built?
If it never gets built, then it never gets built. Nothing happens. If they were to partially build, let's say they go do mass grading and nothing else, that surety bond is there, and then they leave. The surety bond is there in place to reclaim all that grading that was done or anything that was built. If nothing happens, then nothing happens. The special use permit goes for 24 months, and at that point it expires, like any other special use permit
okay.
in the county.
That's what I was getting at.
I could have just said that, huh?
You might have said that. Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. Do you have any questions for us on this?
So you have a recommended motion, but you want to include the agenda.
Yeah, and what I would do is when you make the recommended motion, I would all ask you to plug in and addendum when we read that, if that's the way you want to go. And that addendum simply is taking the recommended conditions 3, 18, and 19 and replacing it with what you have in your hand.
Okay. Before we open up for public comment, any public comment on this item?
And then the applicant is here, too. I think the applicant has a couple things he wants to say.
Okay.
And I'll point you to the right page, too, if you're missing here.
Sure. Would the applicant like to come up, please? Come on.
Hi.
Good morning.
For the record, my name is Rafi Abishami, and I had the pleasure of meeting you earlier this morning, last Thursday. And first and foremost, I was moved by two items earlier in the meeting this morning. One of them was the new fire chief, and something that I always take into consideration is that how all of these wonderful people selflessly put their lives on the line protecting the rest of us. And it has been a family affair, as they pointed out, which is really amazing to me. It's something that I cannot even put into words. And I am pretty much, I'm going to follow the lead of Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne, he has a lot of expertise in this matter, and I really don't think that I like to follow his recommendations. And the only thing that we were discussing was the matter of the bond, which he believes we should have it, and I told him that if you believe it is necessary, I am not going to refute that. I'll follow your advice wholeheartedly. The only matter that we were discussing was that if we could have a bond for the first of all, this is not similar to a mining project that you tend to have a very deep excavation, and pretty much a solar facility, once it is it terminates after the 25-year cycle, unless someone, a project operator, decides to walk away in the middle of the project, which is unlikely. All of the equipment that sit on the property are an asset, and in many cases, the salvage value exceeds the cost of reclamation of the property. And that was my only concern, and which I presented to Mr. Osborne, but he was He believed that it's better to have the bond there, and I wholeheartedly will follow whatever recommendation that he makes. But that was just my point. Also, we are very careful in our approach to this project. If we don't think that this project is going to be viable, we wouldn't move further with it. So we rather do something, we rather take solid steps and take measures that are really going to be of a permanent situation, although the equipment has a limited life of, on average, 25 years. So that was just my idea, and based on the project and the overall picture, we thought that maybe we can eliminate the bond or even maybe reduce it to the, let's say, the last 5 years of the equipment's useful life. And that was my only concern. But again, I follow your advices.
Have you built one of these projects out previously to this new venture?
No.
This is your first one?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it could turn out to be a very small project or extremely large one, right? From 5 to 170 megawatts. So,
yes.
Are you going to be selling this power to the Nevada Energy or private homes?
We would look at both avenues.
We
would look at both avenues. We are going to start discussions with NV Energy regarding a power purchase agreement.
So to this point, you haven't secured any purchase agreements?
No, because we wanted to make sure that the special use permit would be in place.
Okay.
Have you discussed with Nevada Energy their appetite for an interconnection agreement or a resale program?
Have you
discussed that with them preliminarily?
We did have a preliminary discussion with one of their advisors, one of a third-party advisors that they work with closely. We have had several meetings with them, and they are the ones that we will work through the negotiations with NV Energy. And but we wanted to first get this matter approved before we would start our discussions with them on a formal level.
The power company currently doesn't have any plans to build out any additional infrastructure.
Based on what we hear, we have heard multiple facets. One aspect is that they do not plan to build a BlackRock Energy anytime soon. And I've heard from some other sources that they are ready to go, but then again, I cannot ascertain either way.
I can tell you from a first-hand account that they're not going to go forward on the Blackhawk substation.
Okay.
Because I talked to NV Energy 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Prior to you were scheduled to be on our agenda 2 weeks ago, I talked to them then about this.
Yes.
They have no intention of building that out at this time. And it's not in the foreseeable future as well. So,
okay.
I can never advise people on how to invest their money in
sure.
that. But if this is a field of dreams to build it, hoping that they'll come, I don't know. I think you should have all your ducks lined up before you do such a huge investment.
We would also consider setting up our own substation if their substation does not come into if it doesn't materialize. That's another aspect that we also take into consideration.
So have you gone to the Public Utilities Commission to make sure that would be allowed?
We haven't gone into that stage yet.
Okay.
Because we wanted to make sure that we have the permitting in place prior to taking the next step.
Okay. Any other questions?
May I talk to you for a minute?
Sure.
Can we take just a quick side here with
Anthony? Sure, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to take this moment to recuse myself from any further discussion or voting on this particular issue, as there may be future issues arise, and it would be appropriate for me to sign in on this at this time.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Gilbert. Before I continue on with you, I'm going to ask you, does the public have any questions regarding this item or any public comment on it as a whole? Ms. Bard.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. May I address him directly?
No. If you address us, then he can come up and do it.
So, in summary, this is being done, as you stated, potentially a field of dreams. If we build it, they will come. Is it going to be photovoltaic only, or will it also potentially in the future have wind? Once you change the designation, or without a special use, have it light industrial, does it mean any alternative energy? Could it involve something other than alternative?
Not according to this SUP. This SUP is for photovoltaic. If you wanted to incorporate wind, he'd have to come back in the,
okay,
in the future.
Okay, so it's just photovoltaic.
And that's an SUP on wind.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this would allow him to build the substation, as he said, if he wanted to?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with the substation. It has to do with this, the photovoltaic.
Okay, so.
Substation would be another issue, too.
So you'd have to come back. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Austin, let me ask you a question. In the applicant's statement, he was asking that perhaps we could look at only bonding the last 5 years of this. Has this been brought up before? Is there any appetite to look at that? I can see where he's going. You're looking at all this brand new infrastructure for a while. It'd only be on this depreciating, declining scale that the issue might be for mediation of this.
There has been discussion on that. It's a little bit of a tricky situation. I'm assuming that this equipment has about a 25-year lifespan, assuming. I don't know what equipment they're going to use. I don't know what brand. I don't know where it comes from. You know, that sounds like a good idea. You bond it up front, and that way during the construction in the highest risk area, we go ahead and bond it, and then there's a gap for, let's say, 10 or 15 or 20 years, and then you kick that bond back up at the end when that risk is back, when the equipment is reaching its lifespan. It's challenging on that because, and it doesn't necessarily mean these folks, it could be their successors. All they have to do is pull the plug the day before they got a bond, and then the county's stuck with 500 acres of equipment that needs to be removed. So I don't really have an answer for you on that. You know, nobody can really tell whether that's the case or not. In a perfect world, it would be fine. You know, we don't know what technology is going to exist 20 years from now. Who knows what could happen? And the only other issue of concern is just the precedent. You know, what happens with other types of uses in wind energy that's very similar to solar? You know, would there be an issue there as well? So I did, the applicant and I talked for extensive time on this matter alone. We tried to come up with every possible alternative and common sense way of looking at this as possible. This addendum you're looking at, if you look at the draft, it's up to 6 or 7 colors, you know, going back and forth, trying to make something that works, that's on both the protecting the county and working with the applicant. And then finally, we did come up with a lot of changes that we're agreeing on, and I informed the applicant. I said, yeah, I think this is the only thing we can do, but I said, you're welcome to come to the board and talk about some alternatives. I just wish I could have a nicer answer for you on that.
Okay, good. Do you have any more questions, Jack?
No.
Okay. What I see, and I see where Asa is going with this, and I tend to agree with him, is as you look throughout the wind farms of California, where you've got these dilapidated windmills where all the arms are broken and just hanging there, and they've been hanging like this for decades now because I think that there wasn't any provision in place to remedy that issue. So I'm going to ask that unless there's any objection from Commissioner McGuffey, that we're going to ask Austin to go ahead and read motions for approval, including the addendum as sets, including the bonding mechanism that's recommended by the Planning Commission.
Yeah, well, I have to agree with that because he's got a lot of unknowns still, so we need that to basically cover our butt, you know.
I think you're right. Yeah. We'll open it for one last time for any other public comment. Okay, then Austin, if I get to you, go ahead and read the findings of fact, motions for approval.
Okay, the findings for approval, actually on page 10, these are what I'm going to read. That is section 5. Here they go. Motion for approval for both parcels zoned I-1. The following findings of fact are evident with regard to the special use permit. When the recommended conditions of approval in section 6 recommended conditions of approval are applied, 511. Special use permit does not conflict with the provisions of the 2016 Story County Master Plan, including the goals and objectives listed in Chapter 3 Land Use, including as related to the maintenance of an orderly, efficient, and sustainable development, create and maintain a diverse economy, balance renewable energy systems with other uses, and compatibility between existing and future uses. 512. The special use permit complies with all federal, state, and county regulations. 513. The special use permit will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the adjacent properties or the surrounding area. 514. The conditions of the special use permit adequately address potential fire hazards and require compliance with the applicable fire codes, including fire protection raisings. 515. The conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements of Story County Code 1712 General Provisions, Chapter 1734 I-1 Light Industrial Zone, and Chapter 170-3150 Special Use Permits, or any other federal, state, county, or regulations, including building and fire codes. There, when we do the motion, if you choose to do a motion for approval, I would just like to help guide you with a couple things on that motion. And that motion is on page 17, by the way, under Section 8. And actually, it's on page 18 in Section 8.1. There's explanation that went along with the motions. I think it's self-explanatory why these motions are so complicated. Because the zone change was approved, they're simple.
Good. Okay. We'll look for a motion for approval of 8.1.
And Mr. Our commissioners, I would ask, when you finally get to the motion to approve with conditions, I would like you to say, and addendum provided at today's meeting.
Okay.
Pardon?
So when you're reading the motion, you'll get to the point right after when you say, I, Commissioner, hereby motion to approve with conditions.
Right.
I'd like to then say, and addendum provided at today's meeting. And that will make the corrections to conditions 3, 18, and 19.
Motion?
Yes.
Okay.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Story County Planning Commission, the findings under Section 5.1 of the staff report and under findings deemed appropriate by the County Commission and in compliance with the conditions of approval in Section 6 of this report, I, Commissioner McGuffey, hereby motion to approve with conditions and addendum, and the addendum, special use permit, megawatt utility special use permit application number 2016-034 for a special use permit to construct an approximately 5 to 170 megawatt utility scale ground mounted solar photovoltaic power generating facility using solar panel array technology with associated equipment, storage buildings, office, watchman's dwelling on APN 004-181-02, located in Section 31, Township 16, North, Range 22 East, MDVM, and APN 004-291-02, located in Section 1, Township 17, North, Range 22 East, MDVM. The property is located along the Story County, Lyon County boundary northeast of Mark Twain Estates.
And before a final vote is made, may I ask District Attorney Langer, are you comfortable with the words just addendum, or should I say addendum provided today?
Well, I would say the addendum and then put the conditions that are changed to the summary.
Okay, meaning conditions number 3, 18, and 19.
Yes.
And you're comfortable if then they just incorporate this conversation into that? Oh.
That and along together with the documentation set forth in the addendum provided at the meeting today, addressing conditions 3, 18, and 19.
Thank you.
In addition to this motion, we'll include a copy of the addendum. It's addendum to staff report 2016-034, SUP conditions of approval. The recommendation by planning department, two conditions, 3, 18, and 19 of special use permit number 2016-34.
Okay, you good with that?
Mm-hmm.
You're good with that?
I am.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved to second to go ahead and approve this SUP with the addendum conditions. In addition, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
May I request a 5-minute recess that allow the applicant and I just to do a couple quick housekeeping items in the hallway before we go to the next item?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Thank you.
Let's take about a 5 to 10-minute recess.